Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, Yeah.
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports. On 95.7, The Game.
High drive, left field, it is out of here, and we are going home.
Bay Area, what's happening, everybody? Nash Solomon here on 95.7, The Game. Locked and loaded, ready to roll right here from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. I've been here all week. I will be here for the rest of the week. Nash Solomon filling in for Stephen Langford. And that sound right there, shout out NBC Sports Bay Area for the audio. Donovan Solano, walk-off homer against the San Francisco Giants rivals, the Los Angeles Dodgers. A 10-8 win for the Giants in the 11th inning last night. That one went extra. And it was really a wild night overall for sports last night. I'll stay on the Giants here for a few minutes. But before I do that, let's also think about what else happened last night. Big bounce back win for the Clippers. Paul George comes back to life. Jamal Murray, big game for him. Gets the Denver Nuggets down 3-2 with the Utah Jazz. And to cap off the night, that's right, Donovan Solano's walk-off homer. So we had some big-time NBA playoff games last night. We had a big win for the San Francisco Giants. And we're going to stay right here with the San Francisco Giants for a minute because that's 7 straight wins for them. And last night was a night, and pretty much this last week or so has been one of those times where we really wish that we weren't in this pandemic and fans could be out there. Because last night at Oracle Park, I mean, who doesn't love a walk-off? And especially a team right now that's giving us a run similar to the one that we saw last year. One that where the Giants took off in June. And when they took off in June, it became very fun and it became very interesting. And obviously, once July and August came around, they kind of settled down. And I should say that went through June and July. It kind of settled down. And right now, in a short, weird season, this is something we've talked about. And this is something we talked about before the season started and right when the season first began. That it's a weird, funky season where a team gets hot at the right time. They might become an interesting playoff team. And I don't think any of us would be sitting here on August 26th thinking about the Giants could potentially be a playoff team. And I know in the last few days we've kind of gotten closer to that and closer to that. But as of right now, the Giants are sitting in a playoff spot. I mean, to this day, I sit here on August 26th, and I'm telling you, currently the 8th seed is the San Francisco Giants with a 15-16 record overall. And what they're doing right now is something that I don't think any of us expected. And once again, Farhan Zaidi with these random finds, these guys produce. I mean, Mikey Strzemski's been great. Donovan Solano has been great. And last night, talk about an old-timer that really is from the last era of Giants baseball that everybody wants the Farhan to move on from. And maybe not everybody. I know this city loves their 10, 12, and 14 championships so much, those World Series title guys. But Brandon Belt. I mean, Brandon Belt's a guy that I know a lot of people on this very station have said, this guy's time is done. It's time to maybe move on. And maybe they're still thinking that. He's producing right now, and you're thinking maybe he's a guy you move at the trade deadline. But last night was a historic night for Brandon Belt. He went 4-5 with 2 home runs, including a pretty much a game-tying solo shot off Dodgers closer Kenley Jansen in the 9th inning. And once again, the Giants keep proving us wrong. I mean, last night, one of the most improbable comebacks, right? Because when you look at how the game went out, this team trailed over and over and over again throughout the night. I mean, what? They trailed 3-0, 6-3, 7-6, 8-7, and the Giants still won the game to cap off what is now a seven-game winning streak. And Brandon Belt's a guy that not only did he go 4-5 last night, but in a historic effort, this guy has now reached the plate in 11 straight appearances. And the last Giant to do that, wait for it, just wait for it, Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds did that 11 straight times from, what's the dates here, June 23rd to June 27th in 2006. I mean, really, that's where we're at with this. That is where we're at with this. I mean, we got guys producing everywhere. And sure, Joey Bart was obviously a human last night. Didn't put up the greatest of a stat line. And obviously made a crucial, crucial error there in the 10th inning. That obviously gave the Dodgers the lead. But nonetheless, Giants would come out on top and Giants got this win. But since Joey Bart has been a San Francisco Giant, let's just put that out there. They haven't lost. Joey Bart must be this fancy good luck charm. I mean, I say this jokingly, but this city in the Bay Area has been absolutely dying for this guy to come up. And once he finally did, this team just kind of took off. And I know Farhan spoke about when Joey Bart first got called up that it wasn't exactly all about him coming up right now because the Giants offense was starting to hum, but he said, hey, it sure will help. It sure will help. So it's great to see this young prospect come to a team. And that was the big knock, right? Like, everybody's like, why bring Joey Bart up now? Mess up his service time, blah, 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 blah. And this guy just is a part of a losing culture. But guess what? It's the best of both worlds. Giants fans get Joey Bart up. And Giants fans are experiencing them win games. And Joey Bart's experiencing what is right now a winning culture. I know it's kind of a stretch because it's seven games, but hell, seven games is more than 10% of the season. So what does that translate to? Like a 20-game win streak? I don't know. Somewhere around there. I'm not going to do the exact math right at this moment. But 888-957-9570. What surprised you the most about this Giants season in the recent weeks so far? And I know the easy answer is this win streak, but pinpoint it on something. Pinpoint it on something exactly. And if you don't want it to be just about the Giants just in general, what surprised you about sports in this last week? I'm here from 5 to 6 a.m. I'll talk anything with you. I mean, I've been fiending for the NBA playoffs. That's all I've been watching. Stayed up late last night watching this Giants game. Here I am at 5 a.m. So listen, it's a great time. It's an absolute great time to be around sports because, remember, it wasn't too long ago we didn't have these things. And right now, sure, we can't be out there, and we would love to be out at Oracle Park, but that's just not the case right now. So when you're sitting on your couch and you're enjoying and soaking in every moment that we've missed out on throughout this whole pandemic, tell me what's exciting you the most. Tell me what's exciting you the most about this Giants team. And maybe it's Gabe Kapler. Maybe it's Gabe Kapler. I mean, maybe you're surprised that he's winning games and you still don't think he's managing the game very well. Or maybe it's the opposite. I know a lot of people had mixed emotions on how he managed that game last night. So 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Autobody text line. By all means, please tap in with us. And I see people already tapping in pretty early from the 415. I still think Kapler single-handedly has lost this team at least six games. So they've lost at least six games for this team with extremely poor managerial decision-making. Yeah, you're right. You are right. I mean, this team last night was on the right side of a comeback. It wasn't too long ago when they're on the exact opposite side of that comeback when they blew a couple leads against the A's. That wasn't too long ago. But let's just look at how crazy this season has been in recent weeks. I mean, just for example, not even in recent weeks, but about this season, the Dodgers-Giants this season, 4-4. Giants have split them in eight games. 4-4. This is probably the best team in baseball we're talking about that many consider the World Series favorites, right? 4-4 against them. You know what the Dodgers are against everybody else? 18-5. So let's rewind a couple of weeks when there was an argument on these very airwaves, this very station, that it wasn't a rivalry. Guess what? It's a rivalry, whether you want to believe it or not. And I know a lot of you guys still do believe it is, and it always will be. But right now, it is a legitimate rivalry, and it will continue to be that very, very long time. And I don't think that's going anywhere, absolutely anywhere. Because, I mean, this team, is winning against top-tier teams like the Los Angeles Dodgers. And with doing so, they now have won 7 in a row. So maybe the San Francisco Giants are a good team. Maybe Gabe Kapler isn't so bad of a manager after all. And I know this is a little far-fetched to say right now, but these are the pure facts. And famous expressions of famous coaches have always said, you are what your record says you are. And sure, they still have a losing record just by one game. They're one game out of 500. But they're a playoff team. And as of right now, they're sitting back in the NL West 7 games behind the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm not saying they're going to catch that. No. But what I'm saying is right now, at this very moment, this team is a good baseball team. And this team's an exciting and fun baseball team. So again, it's one of those times where they were in this very situation last year. And with the trade deadline looming on us, what are they going to do at the deadline? Are they going to make this little push to get into the playoffs and get guys like Joey Bart in these type of environments and Mike Yastrzemski, who's really coming to his own, that I think, even though he's not exactly the youngest of baseball players, I think he's 29 years old, he still has a chance to be a part of this Giants future. And with saying so, what do you do with the rest of these guys? Like Brandon Belt last night, after a big night like that. Donovan Solano in recent weeks. I mean, these are guys that names have been thrown around and thrown in the hat as potential trade pieces. So what do the Giants do at the deadline? And looking back at last year, did they miss out on their chance to get everything that they could have gotten for Madison Bumgarner? And they tried going... I remember these very airwaves. The big argument was, do you stand pat? Do you buy or sell? And the opinions changed every single day, right? And right now, I want to know what you guys think. 888-957-9570. That's the Chilton Audible text line. We're talking Giants right now. Don't worry. I'm going to check in on the NBA playoffs, and I'm going to also play you guys some sound from Doc Rivers and Paul George from last night. And these are sound bites that are just bigger than life, bigger than sports, right? These are things that are very, very, and I mean very important for what's going on in our country right now. And I'm sure what many people out there are going through. So stay locked in from 5 to 6 a.m. I'm here all hour. The morning show is coming up next, so stay locked in at 95.7 The Game. This is Nash Solomon filling in for Stephen Langford on the pregame show.
BABBEL.com.
Well, it's a high drive to center field. On the move is Bellinger, still on the move, out of here, and this game is tied. He's hot, folks.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Nash Solomon here filling in for nice guy Stephen Langford, taking a couple days off. And we're rolling here talking San Francisco Giants and their walk-off win last night. That audio bite you just heard was Brandon Belt tying the game in the bottom of the ninth for his second home run of the night. And the win was capped off with a Donovan Solano walk-off homer, two-run homer, in the 11th inning last night. That's right, for a guy that had to wake up at 3 a.m. Can't say I was too excited when Brandon Belt hit that game-tying homer, but man, did I stay up, and boy, was that game exciting and surprising. And pretty improbable comeback you don't see too often. Especially for a team that trailed all night. And yesterday, really, overall as an entire day, was a day and night full of surprises and excitement. I mean, everything from earlier in the day with the NBA playoffs going on. Jamal Murray, I don't know if any of you guys got a chance to see that wild comeback he had. I mean, they were trailing. He had some pretty impressive plays. The guy had a 360 layup. The guy had an absolute acrobatic pass to Jokic in the corner to cap off a big win for them. Now they trail 3-2 to the Utah Jazz. And Paul George bounces back. That's something we saw later in the afternoon yesterday. He had a big win, and I'm going to play some sound from him in about 10, 15 minutes here about his bounce back and some of the challenges he's been going through. And also some Doc Rivers sound coming up in about 10 minutes on things that are just bigger than sports, things that are so important with the recent tragedies that obviously, unfortunately, are happening in our country right now with Jacob Blake getting shot in the back 7 times by police officers in Wisconsin. So I'm going to play that sound for you in 10 minutes, but I'm going to stay right here on the San Francisco Giants, stay a little lighthearted while we can before we really get into some serious topics. Because I asked you guys before the break, what about this Giants season has been the most exciting or surprising for you? What's been your most exciting thing? And you guys are starting to check in. And another thing I asked you guys was, how do the Giants handle this little win streak with the trade deadline looming compared to how they handled it last year? I mean, this team last year went on one of these little wild runs, right? And we're not quite sure if we want to handle it the same way that we handled it last year from the San Francisco Giants. Especially considering that there was a lot of concern about bringing up Joey Bart around a quote-unquote losing culture, right? A losing baseball team. This team's won 7 games in a row. When you convert that into the length of a normal season, that's close to a 20-game win streak. I mean, this team is absolutely rolling. Now, we also got to remember, like, you're always going to regress to the mean. And we saw that last year. After that June-July run, I mean, they came downhill in August. But that was a good time for a guy like Mike Yastrzemski, even though the Giants came back to earth last August. That was in Yaz just absolutely took off. I think he had 13 jacks that month. And Yaz is an interesting name because he's a guy that's been completely outperforming many guys, completely outperforming the rest of this Giants roster, right? And he's a guy that is probably going to still be a part of this Giants future, even though he ordinarily, I mean, at this time last year, was a guy that you probably would think would be a part of the deadline, right? And as I threw those questions out to you guys at 888-957-9570, a few of you guys are checking in. From the 408, most exciting thing about these Giants is their fight and unexpected offensive surge. And you're right. That has been phenomenally fun to watch. And I just think this team is resilient. I think this team, when their back's against the wall, something's just different about them. And it's given me vibes that I know the Bay Area can feel very close to, is the We Believe Warriors. Now, I'm not saying that's exactly who they are, but I'm saying it's a team that feels like they're getting right at the right time. They're getting hot at the right time, right? And it feels like they're a team that no matter what doubt they have coming their way or what expectations are set for them, whether they have expectations or not, they're still going to try to perform. And that's what we've seen at least in this last week. And I know this is crazy recency bias, but in such a short season, how can you not have recency bias? Again, I'm going to keep hammering this. A 7-game win streak, convert that from a 60-game season into a 162-game season. That's close to a 20-game win streak. These are the type of things that get you into the playoffs, especially in a year where it's an expanded playoffs. And right now, as I sit here on August 26th, at 5:21 in the morning, because it could change, the Giants are a playoff team right now. They're a playoff baseball team right now. And I'm going to keep checking with you guys on the Chilton Autobody text line, because the 707 is coming in too, and this is more in relation to the trade deadline. With no attendance this year, this is the year you make those difficult trades. Build your team for next seasons when fans will likely be able to attend. And you're right. You're absolutely right, because when you think about it, we know how close and dear to the heart a lot of these Giants players are to the fan base. And a lot of these guys, we wonder, like, why is this franchise still hanging on to them? And why are we still pretending and acting like these are the same guys from 10, 12, and 14, right? Like, these are still those dynasty rosters. Like, they're not. And I think we all know that. But we know how Giants fans, how you guys are out there. Like, I get it. You stay loyal to your guys. I'm a loyal individual. You always got to stay loyal to your soil, right? However, this is a year where you let them go. Your fan base is very mad at you. Maybe they're not if you keep winning. But your fan base gets a little upset with you, and you keep winning, and they are not able to attend the games, then you know what? At least they're sitting on their couch at home, and they're forced to deal with what they got to deal with. Because you know what? You're not going to have people stop attending games and lose a connection with your fan base where they're no longer showing up to games because they can't be there anyway. And what we really got to think about here is how they're going to handle the rest of this season. And I think that's the big question. And I see a lot of people checking in on the Chilton Autobody text line. I see from the 209, dude, it's actually the equivalent to a 7-game win streak. Chill out. The team is still rebuilding or even taking it apart. They're only playing the West Coast teams in the 60-game season. You can't mess up the future for this. And I respect it. I respect what you're saying. I see the way you don't want to jump the gun here and you're not making rash decisions. You're right. I mean, there's validity to that, but you're also wrong. Because do the simple math here, bro. Or miss. a 7-game win streak in a 60-game season, that in normal baseball terms, it's not 7 wins. It's absolutely not. And let's not forget, you got to think it's all relative. It's all relative. 7 out of 60 is equivalent to closer to 20 out of 162. Let's do the math here. And these are the type of things that get you into the playoffs. What was the Giants over-under? Around 23 or 24? And we thought that was the number that gets you into the playoffs? I mean, what do they have right now? 15 wins. 15 wins through their first 31 games. They're coasting around 500. I'm not saying they're going to literally finish with a 500 record here, but they're going to be hovering around it. Unless they completely flutter this and do want to just sell at the deadline and try to build for next year, there's nothing wrong with that. I always think you should, let's take a step back here. You always should plan for the future more than the now when your now isn't exactly a contender. And that's the case for all sports. The NFL, the NBA, the MLB. I mean, look at the San Francisco 49ers. They made this crazy, improbable Super Bowl run last year, and I don't think any of us, I mean, actually, I know none of us saw that happening. And it was a year where really none of these guys were expected to overperform. A guy like Deebo Samuel wasn't expected to overperform, right? And they made it happen. And because they felt like it was a year they can contend, they made sure they got more receiver help. They brought in Emmanuel Sanders. A guy that really is the reason that Deebo Samuel took off. And the reason he was able to take off is because now there was a true number one wide receiver playing just across from him. And these are the type of moves you make when you really feel like it's time to go all in. And the reason I say this and make this analogy is because, no, that's not who the San Francisco Giants are right now. That's not who they are right now. But one thing you got to think about, this is fun. This is exciting. This is a chance to really get things moving in the right direction. Like, when you start winning and creating a winning culture, why would you take a chance of ruining that? I know they're still going to build for the future, and maybe what you're implying here from the 209 is that they should still sell at the deadline and move guys like Brandon Belt and Donovan Solano, because they've been playing great in recent games. Maybe that's what you're implying. If that's what you are, then sure. There's a way that we're both right. There's a way that we're both right here. Because in the reality is, right now, this team is winning. And this team is on pace to make the playoffs. And there's no changing that. And the way the Giants can keep, if they have an opportunity to keep this going without blowing this thing up around the deadline, which it sounds like you're kind of making it seem, that doesn't make any sense to me. When you have a winning culture, you continue it. It's going to be a weird analogy, but full disclosure, I'm a Phoenix Suns fan. And I know they were kind of a national story when they went 8-0 in the bubble. And sure, a lot of people thought it sucked so bad that the Suns didn't make it and the Suns didn't get in. But as a Phoenix Suns fan, I was totally okay with it, because all that mattered was that they won 8 games and this team started to create a winning culture. And this team started to mesh together. And that's something that you can parlay into the future. And that's what the San Francisco Giants right now, with their win streak, they can parlay into the future. So the way you have to look at this is you don't necessarily need to tear this thing down at the deadline. Like, you don't necessarily need to do that. Now, it's all subjective. If you think this team really should go all in because they got hot at the right time, then by all means, sure. But that's just not, like, there's just no right or wrong here, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you had to ask my opinion, I think you keep the winning culture going, because this team's all predicated around the future, right? So what is your future right now? And we know one sure thing of who is going to be a part of this future, and it's Joey Bart. I think everything you do this year, every decision you make, if you're Farhan Zaidi, is probably predicated around Joey Bart first. Your decisions that you're making probably revolve around that guy. So at this very second, keep things rolling while you can. Keep things rolling while you can. And 888-957-9570. Chilton Autobody text on. Keep tapping in. I see the 510s tapping in again. You're still disagreeing with me on how the math translates from 7 to 20 games in a win streak. I mean, listen, right now, the next year, whatever their winning percentage is over a 10-game streak that they have right now, the way that translates into a 162-game season is still the same, my friend. Is still the same. Let's do the math here. You know what I'm saying? Let's do the math. Let's also do the math on what their record is right now and that they're a playoff baseball team at this very moment. So I'm going to let you guys keep checking in on what's the most surprising thing about this Giants team right now for you. If you want to pinpoint it on an exact player or an exact moment, and the exact moment probably was last night. I mean, obviously their biggest win this season, but you can even say anything else happening in the sports world right now because there is a ton going on in the NBA playoffs and there's things that are going on in the NBA playoffs that are bigger than basketball. And yesterday, last night, I don't know if many of you guys got a chance to see this, but I'm sure you found it on social media because it obviously did happen during the Giants game. Doc Rivers spoke to the media after the game, and he delivered an emotional message on everything happening in the world right now for the social injustice and police brutality. Doc Rivers delivered an emotional message on the shooting of Jacob Blake, getting shot in the back 7 times by a police officer in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And Doc Rivers talked about how he's a son of a former cop. And he knows that not all cops are evil, but being an African-American he is, he doesn't feel like he's treated fair in this country. And we all know that's correct. I mean, African-Americans are not treated right in this country, and it's unfair. And I'm gonna stop vamping on this because I'm going to let Doc Rivers pretty much sum it up for you guys.
What stands out to me is just watching the Republican convention, and they're spewing this fear, right? Like, all you hear Donald Trump and all of them talking about fear. We're the ones getting killed. We're the ones getting shot. We're the ones that we're denied to live in certain communities. We've been hung. We've been shot. And all you do is keep hearing about fear. It's amazing to me why we keep loving this country and this country does not love us back.
That was Doc Rivers last night post-game after the Clippers had a pretty handily win over the Dallas Mavericks. And it seemed like a lot of these guys didn't even want to focus on basketball. They wanted to be able to be on a platform, not stuck in this bubble, even though this bubble is a great platform, a phenomenal platform to get the message across. But it's pretty obvious that these guys almost feel helpless. I know Jaylen Brown yesterday was tweeting that he wished he can be out there and protest for what's going on. I know Fred VanVleet talked about maybe we sit out the first game against the Boston Celtics. And the Toronto Raptors are having discussions about that very thing. And, I mean, they're right. Whatever they decide to do is the right thing to do, right? I mean, we're at a time in our country where we were just dealing with this just a couple months ago, just 2 months ago. And the discussions almost died down because a lot of people in America, I think, just put things in the back of their mind for the wrong reasons. I mean, we need to get back to pushing this message. We need to get back to fighting for what's right in this world. We need to get back for focusing on actual life rather than the toy department of life. And that's what sports is right now. It's the toy. It always is. The sports department of life. But the reality is it has a chance to be something much bigger. And what it's going to take for the world to really get the message from the NBA back to them is LeBron James. LeBron James is going to have... He's going to have to be on the forefront of this. LeBron James has to come out and make a statement, whether they play or they not play, for a message like Doc Rivers to actually be taken across this world, taken across this country, and action happens after it. Action happens after it. So I wanted to get that message across to you guys because I thought Doc Rivers spilled an extremely emotional message last night for something that's so important and something that's so critical in these critical times. And it really, guys, let's be real. Let's be real. There's things bigger than sports in this lifetime, right? And especially a sport like the NBA that's predominantly African-American. I mean, they're going to get their message across. And they're going to find a way. And I know a lot of people right now, I've been listening to various shows throughout the night and throughout the morning that they feel like they, sitting out a game between the Celtics and the Raptors is almost like a Hail Mary desperation shot. Like, this is their last chance. This is the last thing that they think they can do for what's going on right now. Like, this is what they think is their best opportunity for everything they've already tried to do while still being stuck in that bubble that makes them feel helpless, right? And I think that you're going to start seeing more and more of a lot of these guys realize that, hey, it doesn't matter if we play or we don't play anymore. And I think that message has already been put across by Fred Van Vliet. I mean, Fred Van Vliet literally said yesterday, are we going to play or are we not going to play? Norman Powell for the Toronto Raptors, both these guys, guards for the Toronto Raptors, said those very things. So I wanted to get that message across because I thought a theme of today's show would be hope. And the first step of hope that I talked about, or I should say, the first example of hope I talked about was something lighthearted to kick things off with the show. And it was the San Francisco Giants win last night. So that was step one, or example number one. Example number two of hope was a more real life thing that I think is the most important thing, that's more important than this show, this station, sports, everything else. And that was the message that Doc Rivers put across last night about the social injustice and police brutality in the world. And the third thing that I wanted to tap on that had to do with hope is the message that Paul George put across last night. Paul George is a guy that's been struggling and a guy that's been really been on the forefront of everything going on in the NBA playoffs because he's played just so awful. I mean, through a three-game stretch, he was putting up 11 points on 20% shooting. And last night, Paul George had an extreme bounce-back night. I mean, 35 points on, 11 of 17 shooting. And Paul George was asked about it post-game on TNT about all the struggles and all the adversity that he's been facing and the responses that he's got on social media and how he was able to bounce back and have such a big game.
Whatever it was, I mean, the bubble got the best of me. I was just in a dark place. I really wasn't here. I checked out. So these past couple games, it was just difficult. But, you know, shout out to people that stood behind me, that was in my corner, the positivity, my teammates, my family, friends, everybody. Thank everybody that reached out to me. I was just in a bad place, and I found my way. I'm back, and I look forward to the rest of this run.
That was Paul George postgame last night after the Clippers' big win over the Dallas Mavericks. And he was talking about, he said he was in a dark place. And pretty much what he's telling you is it was a mental health issue. And those are nothing. Those are nothing to make light of, right? These are very serious issues. And Paul George was able to find his own. And what's really challenging about this is think about the NBA bubble they're in. Paul George away from family. After all these brutal nights that he's been having. What he means by that dark place is he's going back to an empty hotel room. Sure, he's around his teammates and stuff, but a lot of these guys, listen, you finish your game, you want to check out and close out for the night, right? This guy literally had to talk to the team psychiatrist to figure out how to get out of this slump and out of this dark place he's in. Like, well, let's be real. I mean, the bubble, we knew going into this, was going to be a challenge for these players. It was going to be a challenge. And from just a basketball standpoint, Paul George talked about how the no fans kind of plays a little bit of a factor. You don't feed off of it. But when he alluded to being in that dark place, you kind of just got to respect the guy for his full-fledged honesty. And you got to have an immense respect for the guy being able to be vulnerable in that situation. For a guy that's not afraid to talk about the challenges he's going through, especially at a time where it felt like the whole world was just laughing at him. And the whole world was against him. And I know yesterday I talked about it. I'm not trying to toot my own horn because that's not the point of this conversation. I said, I do think Paul George is due, and I do think he has a bounce back game tonight. And he did. And he completely shattered what I thought he would have. I thought it would be one of those low expectations games for him that you look back on the score sheet and you're like, oh, he did have a great game. I mean, the guy shot a little better than 40%, put up about 15, 16 points better than the 9 points he's been putting up. But this guy, no. Last night, a team high, 35 points in 25 minutes. And it was a 154-111 win for what I think is the most fascinating series in this entire NBA playoffs. And it's a series that the Bay Area needs to watch really closely. These are two teams that are coming knocking on the Western Conference. I mean, the Clippers, the favorite in the Western Conference, the Dallas Mavericks, by next year, probably will be a top three team in the West. So if you're Golden State Warriors fans, I mean, these are two teams you got to be watching. So with Paul George being able to have a big bounce back game in such a big moment, the game five swing game, the game that pretty much can be a deciding factor in a series. Maybe not right now because the bubble's a little bit different. Or maybe it helps even more during the bubble, because when you look at a team going up 3-2, ordinarily, this game would be going back to Dallas, right? And Dallas would have a chance to tie it. And then game seven goes back to Los Angeles. And that's how these final three games, really, when a series is tied, go in favor of the home team. And as of right now, that's not the case, because there is no home team. So whatever team steals momentum in a series, that's the team that has a chance to really take off with these things. And I think Clippers last night pretty much summed up that they're ready to close the series. And we see it with the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets. Another series that Dubs fans should be watching very closely. And oddly enough, find themselves rooting for Chris Paul. Because I think it's safe to say they hate the Rockets and James Harden much more than they hate Chris Paul and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Especially with Russell Westbrook being paired up with James Harden. So that's another series that's tied 2-2 now, and Oklahoma City has bounced back two games that felt like the series was done when they were down 2-0. And now here we are, where today you'll see that. I mean, 3:30 p.m. this afternoon, Thunder's Rockets, series tied 2-2. Watch that if you're a Dubs fan. These are two teams that are going to be around the Western Conference. I mean, hell, Giants don't play until later in the day. Get in on this NBA action. Get in on this NBA action. All right, on the other side, I'm going to play Michael Wilbon for you guys. One of the smartest guys in sports. Talked about the tragedies going on in America. Talked about the Golden State Warriors. Talked about the NBA. Hit everything. Like I said, one of the smartest and also one of the most important people in sports media. He was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday. That's next right here on the pregame show. This 95.7 The Game. Make sure you stay there. Michael Wilbon and The Morning Show coming up next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.